On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
This is a wine episode, so here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. We have the Chandon Brut California. We have the Chandon Brut Rosé California. From Post & Beam, we have the Post & Beam Carnera Chardonnay 2023. The Post & Beam Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2022. We have the Maris Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2019. And we have the Chapelet Pritchard Hill Cabernet Sauvignon 2021.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They're Pritchard Hill Cab. Jefferson's used this to age their bourbon in.
That's one of the
few wine finished bourbons I love. Mm-hmm. Pritchard Hill makes good stuff, man.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, yes, it's sipping time again. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. Or not.
Really?
Or maybe.
You know what? I used to think we did discuss everything. I know Sexy Times is off the list.
For you, yeah.
But I heard a disturbing story earlier today.
Yeah, so did I from your wife, and it's gross.
It was from Justin. Justin's disturbing stories were the worst.
Oh, no, Justin's. Yeah, that was.
Those are the worst.
What's wrong with pie?
I'm going to have.
You think it would be an American Pie situation, but it's not. It's much worse than
Fortunately,
that.
Fortunately, there's a VA medical facility right up the street, so I think they have, you know, practice at PTSD treatment. Yeah. So, after hearing Justin's story, I'm going to need a really good psychiatrist. So,
but you know, that I guess does not count as one of the good things in life, I guess, if we need treatment after that.
Well, he thought it was a good thing. It was the rest of us that were just shocked and appalled. So,
all right. Mm. Well, let's move on. But what's going on? Let's not talk about that.
We were the best thing on at 2 a.m. until that. So,
yeah, sorry.
Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today for this episode is good old boy Justin.
Pleasure to be here, Bob, in the basement drinking wine.
And good old boy Harm.
Today, I'm the one not wearing pants.
Okay, now I really need treatment. Okay.
Yeah, you do.
Well, our sip segment's all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, anything else you can sip. And this is a wine episode, so here are the wines we're going to be discussing today. We have the Chandon Brut California. We have the Chandon Brut Rosé California. From Post & Beam, we have the Post & Beam Carnera Chardonnay 2023. The Post & Beam Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2022. We have the Maris Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2019. And we have the Chapelet Pritchard Hill Cabernet Sauvignon 2021.
Oh my God.
So
yeah.
Woo!
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a pretty good day in the basement. So, well,
that's not why I'm not wearing pants, though. I arrived not wearing pants.
Well, you don't normally.
We live in South Florida. I don't have to wear pants all the time.
Yeah, and you live in that nudist colony, so yeah. So let's have Justin tell us about our sips ratings for these wines and our signature sounds.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
For our listeners who were wondering what voice that was, he was trying to do Paul Giamatti. He is failing, but he's trying.
Miserably, yeah.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Oh, closer. I like that.
Isn't that nice?
Nah.
Three sips. Hmm. It's interesting, but what was this again?
Interesting.
You went away from it again.
Yeah, you're losing it.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
He's hovering around it.
He's near it, but he's not there.
Five sips. Oh my! I was unaware anything could be this good.
Honestly, oh, that sounded goodness. Like Dick Van Dyke. I mean, yeah. I don't know where.
Yeah, I failed. I failed.
Yeah,
better luck next show.
Yeah, I apologize.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah, yeah.
Back to the drawing board.
Yeah, yeah. So. Dear God, help us all.
Bob, you want to start us out today?
All right. Let's drink so, wine. Yeah, let's drink some wine and try and make that horror go. Remember Brando in Apocalypse? The horror. The horror. Yeah, okay. So we're going to start out with Chandon. So Chandon is Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy LVMH's sparkling wine house, founded in 1959 by Robert Jean de Vogue, a pioneer with the vision to look beyond the vineyards of France. This vision led Chandon eventually spanning four continents with wineries in Argentina, California, Brazil, Australia, China, and India. A chance meeting between Robert Jean and John Wright was the start of a journey that became Chandon, California. Tasked with creating a world-class sparkling wine, John Wright established Domaine Chandon, which is now known as Chandon, California, in Yountville, literally right across the street from Yountville. Just go under the bridge and it's right there, so you can walk to it. So when we're there, we sort of stagger.
Yeah.
Sideway crab walk. Yeah,
crab walk.
It's right next to the VA hospital too.
Yes.
Oh, good. Like
perfect, you know. Let the old guys go drink. They established in Yountville in Napa Valley in 1973, and they've been creating sparkling wine ever since. So our first wine is the Chandon Brut California. It's 12% ABV, non-vintage, 73% Chardonnay, 26% Pinot Noir, 1% Meunier with traditional champagne method, and the grapes are sourced from multiple cool climate appellations with a minimum of 12 months of aging. So the color on this is sort of a bright light straw. It's got a little bit of a glow around the edge to it.
Greenish glint.
Mm-hmm. It's got a really pretty nose. I get green apples, a little brioche. There's a sort of saline, sort of minerality note to it.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. I think you're off a little today.
I'm definitely off today, but still.
Mm. But on the palate, boom, green apples. Their tasting notes say citrus. My tasting notes say lime, 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 and lime. A little bit of pear, a little bit of brioche, a little bit of biscuity, yeasty on it. But bright, very, very bright, very refreshing. Well done. Well done. What'd you think, Justin?
I really like this one. On the nose, it had like a classic champagne smell, green apples, little touch of fourth grade Elmer's glue, tangerines, and nutmeg.
That's just messed up, dude. I got white flesh stone fruit is what I was getting. And the green.
Yeah. Unlike you, I don't see color, sir. Racist bastard.
Well, I mean, I've married two white girls. Apparently, I don't see color at all either.
On the palette, I got...
Well, you're colorblind, yeah. And you put them glasses on.
Mm. I do like the blondies.
Mm. On the palette, I got like green apple, pear, almond croissant.
And that's a good call. Almond croissant's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the finish was really pleasant. Little vibrating and then faded off. Into
It's not a marzipan. There's definitely an almond note. It's not a sweet almond note. Nah. It's more of a, like you said, like an almond pastry kind of thing. Yeah.
That to me, that's sweet almonds.
Depends on who's making it.
Not well, like marzipan. They don't
have marzipan is very sugary.
Sticky almonds. Yeah. This is more baked goods with almonds. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Nice. So the almond note's definitely there. The white flowers are there. I got, like I said, white flesh stone fruit. The apple is definitely there. and I got a wisp of toast. You were calling it brioche. It's not quite there for me. Just a wisp of toast. And I liked everything you guys said. It's got great acidity, but I thought the finish was short.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a long finish. It's definitely a little bit on the shorter end, but the nice thing about it is it's very clean, very crisp finish. It doesn't go on as long as I'd like, but that's why we have a whole bottle here. So hold on, let me
pick you can up always the refresh that glass.
It Let's won't see. Compete with your caviar if you pair it with that.
Well, I want to have a longer lingering finish. I want the real stuff from champagne. But this is good. This has gotten so much better over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm impressed.
Well, you know, honestly, champagne, sparkling wine in California overall has gotten better mm-hmm. over the last 15 or 20 years.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it can compete with damn near anywhere now. So, but we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just talking about the Chandon Brut California, and we were just talking about how sparkling wine in California overall is just really, really coming to its own in the last 10 or 20 years. Definitely
10 or 15, I'd say.
Yeah. There's some great stuff, and Chandon is absolutely one of them. I mean, over the last, I'd say probably 10, 15 years with them, theirs has really gotten really tasty. So we're going to give the Chandon Brut California a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So that's going to bring us to our next wine. We're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. Our next wine is the Chandon Brut Rosé, California, 12% ABV, non-vintage. It's 57% Chardonnay, 40% Pinot Noir, 3% Pinot Meunier, traditional method. I can't do the French. The grapes are sourced from multiple cool climate appellations with a minimum of 12 months aging. It's got a beautiful pink. I wouldn't call this salmon. It's just more berry pink.
Yeah.
Fancy pink.
It's not Barbie pink, but it's
no.
Pink.
No.
On the nose, this was super muted when it was cold. Especially, I'm a little bit off today. I think my sinuses are dry. Strawberry. And
the strawberry. It was the strawberry. Yeah. See, I did that. I taught you, but yeah, okay. Yeah. No, nobody else is going to get that. No. It's under our age. Yeah. Bogart, come on. It was a great movie.
I know, but still, you can't.
Hey, Mutiny, come on.
You dirty rat, you.
Different movie.
Different movie, different guy.
Yeah.
That was James Cagney, and that was Wade Heat. Never mind. Moving on.
I'm getting like a little bit of watermelon, but not like the flesh, but like the rind.
Mm-hmm.
The rind of the watermelon.
Yeah, the watermelon's definitely there.
And then on the palate. There's the watermelon is coming out there, a little bit of raspberry, and I would say there's pomegranate, but it's a little bit not, you know, actually I want to say it's closer to pomegranate than anything else. The strawberry, raspberry, pomegranate thing. I really enjoyed this. It's got a longer finish than the regular one. And the flavors keep evolving. This is very nice. Yeah. What do you think, Justin?
I thought that the color was really cool. I got like peaches and cream on the nose. It was a little soapy and that faded off. And then after it faded off, it got like more floral.
I think you tasted too cold. That soapy note was way too cold.
Yeah.
on the palate, I got watermelon, cantaloupe, the finish, green raisins, and pears. And I thought it was pleasant, refreshing.
I'm not getting raisin. It's close. I see what you're saying with the sweetness, but it's not raisin. It's something else.
Well,
what if she said pear, right? I think pear might be a good one. Bob?
Well, just, you know, so the listeners are aware, whenever we do sparkling wines or white wines, we tend to basically chill the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Beyond what, you know, wine geeks would normally chill, because the vast majority of consumers will drink it.
Too damn cold.
Too damn cold. So we kind of do that on purpose so we can get some notes, and we will take notes. And as we're preparing for each episode, we'll spend an hour plus preparing for the episode and taking tasting notes as it slowly warms up and slowly warms up to a more acceptable wine geek kind of temperature. I definitely picked up some of the notes Justin was saying when we opened it. You got no nose off of it at all.
It was absolutely cold.
And I kept telling you, let it warm. Now that it's warmed up, the nose is popping. I mean, this is delicious. The strawberries just absolutely leap out of the glass. To me, it's more wild strawberries. Picking on the side of the road up in the mountains where my family's from up North Carolina, the little wild strawberries, they're much more intense. I'm getting that. I definitely get the watermelon on it. I think you're right. I think on the nose, it's more rind
than
it
is
watermelon, the flesh of it. But on the palate, hold on. On the palate, boom, strawberries. I do get a little bit of the watermelon on the back palate. I get the raspberries. I get a little bit of a sweet pastry on the back. Just a slight little bit of the yeastiness, but this is delicious. It's an absolute fruit bomb.
I didn't mention the pastry, but you're right. It was there.
Yeah. There's just that slight bit of like a buttered croissant, maybe.
No, it's not a croissant. It's something else.
It's something. I can't put my finger on it, but there is a pastry back there. But absolutely delicious. I mean, the front palate is a fruit bomb, but this is well done. And the finish goes on.
We call it a fruit bomb, but it's not sweet. Dry rosé.
No, not sweet at all.
I mean, because I have to deal with the public, general public all the time, and they always want sweet. Yeah, I know.
I am getting like a Cuban bread note on it.
That could be it. Pan cubano, yeah.
But it's still dry, but you get those beautiful floral and fruit flavors that come out, and this is perfectly serviceable food wine. And, I mean, I would just have this by itself, too. It's great.
And again, the finish on this one is vastly better than the first one, and the first one was fine, but this one stays with you.
The thing is, you'll find that the mousse does not last. There's not enough bubble. Compared to like real champagne from France, but they still do a good job. If you drink it earlier, we've had this in the glass for an hour.
It's been open for an hour. So to be fair, the mousse is blown off a good bit off of this one, but
the mousse is loose.
Yeah.
But it's still got a fine, like those really fine bubbles, like real stuff from champagne, which is actually great.
Oh no, the mousse that is in there used to be
very hard for them to do in California. Yeah. It was always very coarse.
Yeah, see, you just poured it. Look at the mousse on that. It's nice. Really nice.
Yeah,
they do. I'm telling you, Chandon's doing some great stuff. They have one that's only available at the winery, and it's infused with Earl Grey tea, and it sounds weird and messed up. And let me tell you, it's one of the most delicious things you'll ever have.
I would love to try that.
I wish they sold it regularly. Every time we go, I go, you know, I'm going to run by the gift shop and grab one, and then we get busy and I don't.
Yeah.
It sounds odd, but they play so well together. So
are they infusing with bergamot? That's the citrus they use.
I don't think they're just using bergamot. I think they're actually using
Earl Grey tea.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's weird, but it works.
I love that. I love that kind of thing. I'd love to try that.
Well, I love Earl Grey. I mean, I have a glass of Earl Grey every morning at work, so it's sort of my thing. But
not make you Picard. Stop. You are not Captain Picard.
I am not Picard. I never would be Picard. I am Kirk, baby.
Oh, you're no Kirk.
100% Kirk. all the green chicks love me. So we're going to give
That's only because they turn green after they're with you.
Yes, exactly. There's a shot for that. So we're going to give the Chandon Brut Rosé California well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
So Justin, tell us about the Post and Beam Chardonnay.
Post and Beam is based in Napa Valley. It's named for simple yet elegant barns that dot the American landscape. Established in 2020, the winery is part of the Farniente family of wineries and vineyards, joining Farniente, Dolce, Nickel & Nickel, En Route, and Bella Union.
En Route.
Way.
And?
Yeah. Okay. And on, whatever.
So it's a Carneros, the first with Post & Beam Carneros Chardonnay 2023. It's from Carneros, an appellation in Napa. It's 100% Chardonnay. It was harvested between October 11th through the 27th, and we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
So the Post and Beam Carneros Chardonnay 2023 was harvested October 11th through the 27th. It was 30% aged in New French Oak, 7 months Surly. The color was like a light gold, vibrant yellow. On the nose, I got like creamy croissant, lemon curd, and pears. On the palate, melon and a prominent French oak note. The finish was like soapy pears and green raisins. And what did you think, Harm?
I think he had some green raisins for lunch. He seems to like those. Yeah.
Lemon, you said lemon curd?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. Lemon curd. Honeysuckle, definitely. A little bit of like orange note, orange blossom. There's something else there that's, it's like the rind. It's like orange rind. It's really great. I love the nose on this wine. You know, these guys make Farniente Chardonnay, which is freaking fantastic. They know what they're doing, yep. Even though this is a different winery. The grapes are sourced a little bit differently. This is gorgeous. The palate. Excuse me. Rookie mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to talk with there's still wine in your mouth.
Yep.
It has a beautiful silky entry. I love the way this feels on the palate. It's round, it's soft. There's melon, there's pears. Definitely like Anjou pear, like that buttery, creamy pear. It's a hint of oak. Do you say oak on that too? Mm. Do you get the oak?
French oak.
French, yeah, it's a hint of that. It's not like toasty though. It's like more spicy.
Mm-hmm.
The finish doesn't have enough acid for me. A little bit soft on the acid, and a little bit sweet, but it's very good. It's got a medium to long finish. Bob, what do you think?
I don't mind the acid. I think it's for me. It's fine.
I like a little bit higher acidity.
Yeah, and I get that. Some people like a little bit more. I'm totally fine where it's at, but.
This would go great with Chilean sea bass, buttery style fish. You know?
There's lemon curd, there's orange rind, there's a little bit of a like a orange blossom honey note on the nose, on the palate.
It's not strongly honey for me, but I see what you're saying.
Not sticky, just there's that hint. On the palate, I'm getting melon, I'm getting pears. It's got a great, like you said, silky mouthfeel.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Really.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Well made. The viscosity on this is really, really nice. It's got a pretty good finish on it. Nice, fresh, clean oak, but not, you know,
California Chardonnay Cougar Juice Oak. Just a wisp the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
It's supposed to be a flavor component. It's supposed to elevate the wine, not cover the wine.
I think that whole 90s Cougar Juice, early 2000s, California wine is finally pulled back.
I think it's finally died.
Yeah.
There's still some out there, but yeah, the vast majority of people have gotten away from it.
They're going more balanced
wine. Yeah, it's nice, fresh sawn oak. Just that slight little bit of hint to elevate it and give it that backbone. I think this is extremely well done. I really like this one. So. Yeah. So we're going to give the Post and Beam Carnera Chardonnay 2023 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that's going to bring us to our next wine from the same folks at Post and Beam. So this is the Post and Beam Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2022. It is 14.5% ABV. Appellation is Napa Valley. It's 91% Cabernet Sauvignon, 6% Merlot, 2% Petit Verdot, 1% Cabernet Franc. Harvested September 9th to October 20th in 2022, and aged 10 months in French oak, again 30% new. So the color, nice dark garnet to it. It's got a nice clear rim to it. On the nose, when we first opened it, it had a little bit of a vegetal note that blew off almost immediately for me. I'm getting blackberries, getting blueberries on the nose, on the palate. It's got a great mouthfeel, really well-rounded. This one, the acidity for me is a little bit higher than it was on the Shard. I'm definitely getting a little bit of that mouthwater to it. Cassis, blackberries, blueberries, dark fruit. Got a nice finish on it. A little bit of a cocoa note on the back palate for me
I'm not getting your blueberry note at all. I keep coming back to it. I'm not coming
to get my I'm blueberry. Getting very front of the tongue. I get the blueberry. But it's more, for me, it's more, there's that hint of blueberry, but it's more blackberry, more dark stewed fruit. Very pretty wine. Very pretty wine. What'd you think, Arm?
I don't disagree with anything you said. I got a more minerality thing going on with it.
Yeah, there's definitely a mineral note to
it. Almost a licorice note. I got hoisin, like that plum sauce, a little bit of cassis, and a hint of menthol is still there for me. At that green note, it's menthol.
On the nose or the palate?
On the nose. Still on the nose.
And, yeah, I can see
and,
that.
And a toast, like toast, not like like slightly toasted bread.
Does anybody in your family smoke Kools?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I do sell them at the ghetto store a lot, though. Okay. Thank you.
All right, sure. Because they'll stay on your fingers for a while.
Yeah. Beautiful texture on the palate. Starts out round a little bit. Earlier on, I thought it was too light. I thought the palate was very light bodied, but giving this time to get some air, the tannins are starting to polymerize a little bit. I'm getting a better grip on it. I'm getting more round palate, layers of flavor. It's the grip came late, but it came in and it's good. And the flavors are what Bob said, but I'm not getting quite the blueberry, but maybe like it's really nice.
And yeah.
It finishes pretty long. I'm enjoying this. Justin, what do you think?
So, not much to add other than you got to let this one open up.
Yeah.
There were some pretty unpleasant things going on in the beginning, which completely disappeared an hour in.
There was a vegetal note on the nose, 100%, but after about 10 minutes, gone, completely gone.
You know I'm a steak and potato guy.
And real pretty, yeah.
Vegetals, not my thing.
Yeah, no.
No vegetables.
I've never seen him eat a vegetable before. Right. So yeah,
explains a lot. But yeah,
I'm not going to make the joke.
Yeah, don't go there. We're on radio, remember? Yeah, you got to kind of try.
You got to hear some of Justin's stories.
I do eat pie. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Just not vegetables. Yeah.
All right. Correct.
That vegetable note or the vegetal note I'm getting right now for me, it's like, it's not, you said blueberry. I'm getting like the stem part.
Yeah.
you know, it's that woody note from the blueberry when you eat fresh blueberries. That's what that is. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to be giving the Post and Beam Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2022 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Yep.
So let's have Harm tell us about our next one.
All right, let's get started before the next commercial here. Okay, this is Maris. Maris began as the quintessential garage wine made by Maris founders Erica J. Goff and Mark Harold in the two-car garage behind their home in the town of Napa. The wine won international renown starting with their first vintage in 1998, but the garage imposed serious limitations. Purchased by the William Foley of Foley family, the wine group in 2007, one of his first goals was to find a Napa Valley winery worthy of the site worthy of the brand. A few months later, he acquired a historic ranch tucked into a canyon on the east side of the valley, one of Napa's fabled ghost wineries. It had been abandoned in the wake of the Prohibition and only recently brought back to life. Now fully updated, the winery includes custom-made winemaking equipment, 7,000 square feet of caves, which is kind of small, for the barrel storage, along with a tasting salon and a second tasting area in the caves. The Maris Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2019 is 15.8% ABV. It's from Napa Valley, 97% Cabernet Sauvignon from Coombsville, 3% Petit Verdot from Yountville. The grapes were cold soaked for 5 days prior to inoculation and a warm fermentation to dryness. During the fermentation, the juice was pumped over twice daily in small capacity tanks for 9 days. The wine was pressed off of the skins and moved back to tank for a full malolactic fermentation and then barreled 100% new French oak for 24 months. I'm kind of rushing through this because we're coming to a commercial, which is starting in 3 seconds. 2, 1.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
And we're back. So the color of this is gorgeous. Hold on, there it is. This is a gorgeous deep garnet with violet edges. And on the nose, earlier on, I was getting a lot of cassis and blackberry. Right now, it's going to a subtle spicy hint, a little bit of clove. I'm getting vanilla bean and cedar, lots of cedar. Maybe a hint of graphite, I'm not sure about that. And still got that a good mineral note to it. This one is different from that Post and Beam. This is kind of a more full-bodied wine. Mm. When I first had it, and now, this is big on the palate, very plush. The tannins are velvety. Those cassis and cedar notes are coming out of the palate. It's really got great grip. This is definitely a steak wine. You can get the American oak. I'm sorry, this is it's French oak, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get that oak on there. And that's where that clove note was coming. And it's got a long, long finish. It's structured, powerful. There's nothing wrong with this wine. I'm really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Bob?
Absolutely delicious. Yeah, the cassis and the blackberry on the nose are there. The cedar is 100% there. It's like your grandmother's cedar chest. I get a graphite-y mineral note on the nose. Mm. On the palate, it's just dark fruits, beautiful silky tannins, a really great mouthfeel.
I don't think the tannins are silky, it's more velvety.
We tried,
it's got a rougher texture.
But is this velvet? This is beautiful. Yeah,
We tried this a while back and met some folks at a big wine event we were at. And I said, I have to have this for the show. I reached out to them and they were kind enough to send us a bottle. And it's also a 2019, so it's got a little bit more time on it. Yeah. I knew this wine. I knew it wouldn't disappoint. It's fantastic. What do you think, Justin?
I'm very excited to be drinking this morning. I definitely got the fruit and then half bakery, half machine shop on the nose. And those are positive.
Oh, I know you're talking findings. About that. Minerali's yeah. A machine shop. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm going to go somewhere and do a thing. And it was plush. Like it, you know, came from a couch from the 70s, you know, on the palate. Lots of soft fruit, berries, blackberries. The finish was like, this is like a classy wine. If you were hanging out in this guy's garage, he whips this out and drinks it, you're like, oh, I must be in Napa because this is serious wine.
Yeah, I don't think I'd leave the garage like, if this
nah,
was there.
Nah.
Well, we're going to be giving the Maris Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2019 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Easy. It came close to a 5 for me.
Yeah.
Almost, but not quite there.
All right, Justin, tell us about Chapelet.
I'm excited about this. So, Chapelet Pritchard Hill Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. It's 14.8% alcohol by volume, of course, from Pritchard Hill in Napa Valley. It's 95% Cabernet Sauvignon, 5% Petit Verdot. The color is dark. It smells like a cigar shop with beautiful flowers out front. The palate is concentrated fruit, potpourri, and dark chocolate. And the finish is heaven in a glass. What did you think, Bob?
Well, I've got a particular affiliation with this one. One, we've done quite a bit of Chapelet on the show, but I was out in Napa with our executive producer and they were very kind to have us out and they pulled a barrel sample of the upcoming Pritchard Hill for us, which is this very wine. So I was adamant I wanted to get it. And fortunately we were back again recently in, was it January?
Yeah.
March. We were there in March and the girls actually were talking to a gentleman in the parking lot. It turned out to be Cyril Chapelet. And he said, oh yeah, we'll send you one. No problem. So thank you, Cyril.
Thank you, Cyril.
Amazing wine.
Thank your wives.
We already knew that it was a great wine, but thank you especially for sending this one because I got to try it from the barrel and I've got to try it from the bottle. And it is absolutely fantastic. Black currants, black raspberries, tobacco notes, some graphite, a little bit of herbal note to it and some dark chocolate. This is everything you want from a Pritchard Hill.
I mean,
this is
it's classic
Pritchard Hill. Amazing wine. What do you think, Harm?
I've been selling Pritchard Hill from Chapelet for years, and this vintage is no different. It is freaking amazing. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous, rich, lush wine. You're going to have to open up your wallet and dig in deep, or just use the plastic. Just use the plastic. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's worth every penny.
Yeah. You can always file bankruptcy and wipe that debt out.
It's not that expensive.
Yeah.
The small monthly payments for 48 months will be nominal. It
depends on your budget. But look, I've saw much more expensive
wines. Get your priorities in order, friend. You know, spend the money on the good wine. Yeah.
It'll make that steak taste even better than it actually does.
But Super concentrated. I mean, so ripe fruit. And there's that oak. The underlayment,
that base of the oak.
They say what kind of oak they use. They don't say, but I think it's got to be a mostly French and American, or mostly French. Maybe if there's any Americans, really toasted. It's got that great nose. I love this, and it's so rich on the palate. It's got that herbal note. It's got plenty of spice, like anise coming out, some nutmeg. Wow. It's you said the chocolate notes, that's what predominates for me.
Yeah.
Pretty dark chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah. I get the chocolate on the finish more than just on the initial sip.
No, I smell it. Not even the finish. I'm talking, I smell that dark chocolate.
Let's see. Hold on. Yeah.
It's deep
on the palate, such great grip. This will cut any fat from any great steak you're eating.
Yeah.
And it will just make the next bite taste better. That's why you need these tannic heavy wines.
The problem is this is only an hour long show and I could spend 2 hours just talking about this particular wine.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean,
because it just continues to evolve in the glass.
So when we drink wines with heavy tannins like this and we pair them with meats, because the tannins cut that fat. It pulls it right off your tongue.
Yep.
So the next bite, you taste more. You're not, 100%. Fat's not covering your tongue.
The next bite's exposed. The first bite every time.
Yeah.
It wakens your palate. It allows you to taste the meat. It allows you to also taste the wine at the same time. So
such great grip on this.
Well, Champlain makes great wine. It's a beautiful, beautiful winery. Stunning up on top of the mountain.
And I don't care about the winery. I'm talking about the wine, Bob.
One of the earliest wineries there. I mean, it was Bob Mondavi built his, and then the Champlain family built theirs literally like months later. It's a pyramid on top of the mountain, and it is like its own ecosystem up there. It's
cool.
Absolutely gorgeous. But the wine, I've never had a wine from them that I didn't go, damn.
Great views from Napa if you go to visit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do visit.
If you are in Napa, 100% you need to put these folks on. I mean, all of these you need to visit, but yeah, Champlain.
Yeah.
Chapelet's another order. So
they're Pritchard Hill Cab. Jefferson's used this to age their bourbon in.
That's one of the
few wine finished bourbons I love. Mm-hmm. Pritchard Hill makes good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Anything from Pritchard Hill. But
well, we were there. We had a great time. We saw some turkeys wandering around.
Yeah.
It was just cool.
And we got to meet
Cyril. So we're going to give the Chapelet Pritchard Hill Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. We're giving it 5 because we don't have 6.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
There's no 6.
Yeah. Yeah. There should be an 11, but these go to 11. So fantastic wine. Absolutely fantastic wine. So this was a good flight, guys. Really good flight. So I want to thank my co-host for joining me today. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bob.
Don't thank me. I didn't make the wine. I just poured it. And thank you, Harm.
You know, I don't often mean it, but I mean it today. Thank you, Bob.
And no, you never mean it. Come on.
Not once in your life. My teeth are purple, and I'm happy. Thank you.
Yay. If you're not happy after this tasting,
it's good.
There's something wrong with you. Well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. We thank you for joining us. And remember, life is too short to drink bad wine. And boy, oh boy, today we did not drink any bad wine. So
not at all.
Yeah. Hand me that Pritchard Hill.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back. Join us for another episode. And keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.